how thankful I am to preach here. What a high honor. What a holy honor. This place has changed my life. I've heard God speak to me here. I've felt the presence of God here. I've made new relationships here, Christian friendships that endure. And I'm thankful for that today, and I'm honored to stand before you and to bring the word. And I'm going to do my best to bring the gospel this morning. So if you will, turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And we'll begin with verse 22. Acts 16, verse number 22. Our Father and our God, thank you for this glorious day. Lord, bless your word and your gospel. I pray a soul would be pricked. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. These were gospel ministers. The world is obviously against them. The scripture says the multitude rose up together against them. This is Paul and Silas, ministers of Jesus Christ. And verse 23 says, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Here we see the servants of Christ afflicted and imprisoned. Sometimes serving the Lord can bring us into difficult circumstances. Sometimes Christians doing their best to serve God end up imprisoned, end up in pain, in afflictions, in bands and irons. The world's against them, the enemy's against them. But listen, Paul and Silas did not lose their will to pray and to sing praises and to worship God. Verse 25 says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. The Bible says at midnight they prayed and sang praises to God. Are you in a midnight as a Christian? Are you in the midnight hour, the darkest hour you could possibly be in your Christian walk? I want to encourage you today not to lose your prayer, not to lose your worship, and not to lose your song for God. We see that there is a place for singing and praying in the gospel ministry. God uses the prayers and the songs of His people not only to help you, but it will touch others. Verse 25 said that the prisoners heard them. The prisoners heard them. And I want to encourage you today, keep singing for God. Keep praying. It's going to help you, and it's going to help your church. It's going to help this world. Now verse 26 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. These prayers and these songs opened prison doors. The prisoners' chains fell off. So let us keep singing and testifying. We might be able to help someone get out of their prison. And it might get you out of yours. So God was moving in this place. God was doing something. God used His ministers in a way that helped themselves and others. But look what happened to this jailer. Verse number 29, he says, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. The man knew that the presence of God was in the place. He witnessed the power of God through the men. He witnessed what God did there that day and came under conviction. He trembled, the Bible says. Has there come a time in your life that you've trembled before God? This man was under conviction for his sins. The Bible says he fell down before the apostles, but truthfully, he fell down before God. The jailer knew that God visited the place. He came to the realization that God was real. And he saw his need to be saved. I want to ask you, has there come a time in your life that you've trembled for your sins? That you've realized that God is the true God and that he'll hold you accountable for the things that you've done? Unless you've been saved. Now that's what happens. This man was convicted and realized his need for salvation. He saw the things to come and fell down before God. And he asked this great and important question. Verse number 30. He says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Has there come a time in your life when you have asked yourself, "What is it going to take to get me to heaven?" Have you considered what it's going to take to save your soul? This is the question, the great question that everyone in this room, in this congregation, must ask themselves in their lives. What must I do to be saved? In order to enter God's kingdom, let us ask ourselves this. The world wants you to ask these questions. What can I do to make more money? What can I do to find pleasure? What can I do to live longer? What can I do to make myself look better? How can I have fun in my life? How can I prepare for an uncertain future? But I say to you today that God says, "Prepare to meet thy God." The Bible says that each one of us will stand before our Creator. And we'll be judged for the things that we've done. And if you've not been saved in this life, you're in for an eternity of punishment. He says to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, if you seek to satisfy these pursuits, instead of salvation, you will go to hell. Making money is not a crime. Seek it before God and you'll wind up in hell. Having fun is not a crime. Seek it before God. Seek it without God and you'll wind up in hell. Young people, make being right with God your priority. Your first priority. Make sure I know what it takes to be saved. Make sure I've been saved. The men of God gave the great and only answer. They said in the following verse, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It is the only answer then, now, and forever. And it is your answer today. Should you be convicted by the Spirit of God, your answer is to trust in Christ. When God says to believe in Jesus, it means to believe in all that the Bible says he is. The bread of life, of which you can partake of and live forever. The light of the world, and if you follow him, you will not walk in darkness any longer. As the way, the truth, and the life through which you can come to God. That he is the Lamb of God that can take your sins away forever. God saves the homosexuals by faith. God saves the liars and the thieves by faith. God saves the fornicators by faith, the drunkards by faith in Christ. He saves the good and the bad. And I tell you today, there's no sin that you've committed that God can't forgive by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very possible for you to be saved today if you'll lay down your worldly pursuits, lay down your sins, and seek the face of God at the cross. Believe that he is the one who came down from heaven. Believe he is the one that took your sins to the cross and that God has raised him from the dead for your justification. And believing is trusting. Trusting. And trusting in his name is going to bring you to repentance. A godly sorrow for your sins and turning from them. So believe in Christ today and receive all the promises of God. The Bible says all the promises of God are in him, yea and amen. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Now the whole Gospel of John in each chapter makes a mention of believing. Just about nearly every chapter tells us to believe. John chapter 1, verse number 12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. And John chapter 3 says, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter 4 says that if you believe in him, you'll drink of a living water, which will spring up into eternal life. John chapter 7 says, as many as believe in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John chapter 14, the Bible commands us to keep trusting him. He says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. He also says, he that believeth in me, the greater works shall he do, because I go to my Father. The whole Gospel of John was written in order that we might believe in his name. Amen. And true belief in the name of the Son of God is going to cause you to become a new creature. Amen. The proof that you really believe in the Son of God today is that you've been made new by his blood. Amen. God has set him forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. He is the object which God has set forth from all eternity to believe on. Believe in his blood and have it applied.